These are the PCORI methodology standards. This category is about standards for adaptive and Bayesian trial designs. It was prepared by and will be presented by Dr. Gary Rossner, a biostatistician in the Department of Oncology.
Hello, this is Gary Rossner. In this module, I will be discussing other considerations and recommendations for adaptive and Bayesian clinical trials. We'll be discussing considerations relating to operational bias. We'll also look at proper oversight of adaptive randomized clinical trials. And we'll look at weighing risks and benefits of adaptive designs. That is, we'll consider the greater complexity of the adaptive trial and potential for operational bias against the potential to enroll fewer patients, have a shorter trial, and have a larger fraction of patients receive more effective therapies. Operational bias may result from changes that occur over the course of the trial and may lead to biased conclusions. For example, perceptions among potential participants may change based on information from the ongoing study. The attitudes of the potential patients may change regarding their participation, and that may lead to a drift in the characteristics. For example, better prognosis patients may start enrolling in greater numbers toward the end of the trial than at the beginning. And so that may affect outcomes if the randomization probabilities have changed. Additionally, the behavior of participating clinicians may change in terms of their enthusiasm for enrolling patients. It may increase or decrease based on information from ongoing study. Other trial aspects may affect the trial conduct or the internal and external validity of the study. The information that may affect these changes, either to the study population or to other study aspects, will include the following. If the trial drops arms that are treatments for which some clinicians have low enthusiasm, then those clinicians may become more inclined to enroll their patients in the trial. On the other hand, if arms are dropped for treatments for which some clinicians have high enthusiasm, those clinicians may lose enthusiasm to enroll patients in the study. Sometimes people assume that arms that continue in the adaptive trial are associated with higher than expected efficacy. This is an erroneous inference, but sometimes people think that. If participants were to learn of changes to the randomization probabilities, that may alter their enthusiasm for the trial or for enrolling in it. Operational bias may increase the type 1 error, that is, the probability of falsely claiming a treatment difference when none exists. It may reduce statistical power or lead to biased estimates of treatment effects or outcomes. Operational bias may affect the study's credibility and its validity. During the design phase, we'll want to assess the potential for operational bias to adversely affect our trial. We will want to identify potential sources of operational bias. For example, what if some participating clinicians learn about which treatments are being assigned to their patients? The potential unblinding may lead to loss of the randomization. Simulation will also allow us to assess the potential for any bias and to what degree that bias may enter into our inference at the end of the study. What if patients with better prognoses tend to enter the trial at a later date than patients who entered the study at the beginning of the study? If those better prognosis patients enter after an adaptation has changed the randomization probabilities, they will now form a larger fraction of the patients. And what will that do to our ability to make an inference about the treatment effect at the end of the study? These are all important aspects that one must consider during the design phase in order to establish that the trial will be credible and will be robust to such potential sources of bias. It is also important during planning to determine what one can do to avoid operational bias. One thing one can do is to control the flow of information, that is, develop procedures relating to who gets to see what information and at what time. One might consider including limited information about possible adaptations in public documents and provide complete information to a smaller circle of individuals. One needs to weigh restricting access to information against the desire for transparency. All of these decisions need to be described in the trial documents. Another important consideration for an adaptive trial is that there be proper oversight. Adaptive randomized trials need continuing oversight. The oversight needs to ensure that the adaptation algorithms are functioning properly. Although one has simulated many, many different types of scenarios, when the rubber hits the road, all sorts of things may happen that one had not anticipated. One needs to check that the adaptations do not occur too soon, or that the adaptations do not occur later than desired. One should also continually monitor that the trial is progressing as planned. One should consider having an oversight committee. The committee will consist of individuals who are independent of the study, people without any real or apparent conflicts of interest. The committee should include individuals who are familiar with complex trial designs, especially adaptive and Bayesian designs. One may include oversight in the charge to the trial's Data and Safety Monitoring Board. That is, the DSMB may not only review safety data and interim efficacy data, but may also make sure that the adaptive nature of the trial is progressing as planned. Except for issues of safety, the oversight committee should not modify the trial design. Ad hoc modifications can alter the statistical properties of the design. Remember, all adaptations have been planned up front. During the course of the trial, the oversight committee may need to communicate with trial personnel or sponsors. All individuals should agree to terms regarding sharing trial data during the trial, that is, especially unmasked data, prior to starting the trial. One should document the rules for communicating trial information during the planning phase of the study. Adaptive trials incur risks, but also offer benefits. The adaptive trials offer the potential for a smaller sample size or a trial of shorter duration. The adaptive trial can increase the fraction of patients who receive effective therapy on average. The adaptive trial can also reduce the fraction of patients receiving less effective therapy on average. An adaptive clinical trial can improve accrual, given the perception among patients that the trial will tend to assign better performing treatments to those who participate. On the other hand, the adaptive trials are more complex, and they require more work at the planning stage. They require extra oversight compared to traditional trials. One needs specialized expertise among those overseeing the trial. There is potential for operational bias. One always needs to consider how key stakeholder communities will receive the trial outcomes when it is finished. In summary, we talked about some of the changes that may occur while the trial is running that may lead to operational bias. We also said that it's important to try to find ways to mitigate that. We talked about adaptive randomized trials needing continued oversight to ensure that the adaptation algorithms are performing appropriately. And if considering an adaptive trial, the investigators and key stakeholders need to weigh benefits and risks. There's greater complexity and potential for operational bias, but the adaptive trial may also lead to fewer patients being enrolled, a shorter trial, and a larger fraction of patients who receive more effective therapies. Thank you.